You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday, travel day for me, literally recording this, hitting the road, which might mean this is a little bit shorter than the mailbag normally is, but we're doing last week's Thursday mailbag today on Monday. Hopefully one of two, assuming that there's no difficulties getting down to Indianapolis or technical difficulties, but we're going to record one here and we're going to record one there is the goal. That doesn't end. Assuming everything goes to plan, another one will be released today, if not early tomorrow morning, which that might be the case. It might be recorded tonight and go tomorrow. We'll see. Anyway, so let's get to the Michigan mailbag. And the thing is, this time around, there's only like one person that whose name I don't recognize as having ever asked a question. So if you're in segment three, it's not as a result of you not being a regular. It's just we've got like 20 questions or so, and everyone who's asked one is basically been a everyone's just asked one. You know what I mean? All right. As I get distracted by my own whatever, let's move into the leaders and best. James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Should the Big Ten troll Notre Dame and not let them in? Any other teams you would like to see in the Big Ten add? Now that Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC, I mean, and I know that they're not necessarily AAU types. Those are the ones that I wanted more than anything. USC and UCLA, but I'll take what I can get as far as that's concerned. I think USC is as big of an ad as anybody. It's pretty big. I do have a weird thing with Notre Dame, and part of me is like, yeah, they should add Notre Dame. But the other part of me is like, they should, because financially it would make sense, but it should also be like, no, sorry, Notre Dame, you're out. And if we get really real into the conference expansion, and because right now, like, what does the ACC have? What does the Big 12 have? What does the Pac-12 have? As of right now, I mean, the ACC is the only one holding any cards with three premier institutions as far as name brand recognition. I don't think I'm shorting anybody when I say Clemson, which is more of a recent one in that sense. Clemson, Florida State, and Miami. Outside of that, there's really no schools in, Duke and North Carolina and basketball, but again, no one really, that's not going to move the needle that much. Basketball, kind of a free-for-all. I mean, Gonzaga is one of the biggest names in basketball right now, and I'm not really sure what conference they play in. Actually, I do, but the WAC or whatever it's called. But nonetheless, I would love, it's like, go ahead and force Notre Dame to the ACC, especially because I wouldn't be surprised if you see Miami and Florida State go to the, or even Clemson, any of those three end up in the SEC once everything is said and done. The Big 12 has nobody. I just think it's one of those things where it's like, if Notre Dame really decides they're going to hitch their wagon to this independence thing, they could find themselves left out of the college football playoff altogether if both the SEC and ACC, or SEC and Big Ten rather, expand to 20 teams. Because I could see the SEC taking those three I mentioned out of the ACC and add one more. I don't know. Let's say Oklahoma State. I think that would make some sense for them. Then the Big Ten would probably add Oregon and Washington. I know they're waiting on Notre Dame. They probably would add Notre Dame. And then someone like Pitt. And then everyone else, good luck. Have a good one. As far as teams I would personally want, I don't know. I think there's no one out there in those other conferences that I'm like clamoring for, to be honest. Josh Biajadicki. Considering who Michigan is bringing to Big Ten Media Day, Mozzie, DJ Turner, Cade, and Eric all, what kind of questions are you curious to ask them? It's one of two. I don't know yet. And this is one of the, like, I know that that's maybe like a cop-out answer. I have no idea what I really want to ask them. Aside from the typical, like, who's impressed you behind the scenes in summer conditioning? Who's going to stand out? Some of those questions are usually pretty good. I want to obviously ask about Ohio State, defending the championship, all that kind of stuff. But there's nothing, like, particularly aside from Cade, and I probably won't ask because I'll let the rest of the media handle it. I want to know how they're going to handle the JJ, his JJ McCarthy thing. The only thing other from that with Cade is I want to know how it feels for him to be the first Michigan quarterback that Jim Harbaugh's brought to Big Ten Media Days. Aside from that, like, I don't really have anything specific as more as the general. And I think that's generally where we're at when it comes to Big Ten Media Days. Just kind of the general overall feeling, how much things feel close or different. And honestly, I hadn't really thought of it yet. This is one of those things where I'd be thinking about it on my drive down, because it's a 4-hour drive. Considering the fan base won't shut up about the QB battle, you should pitch the idea to Harbaugh that he should start the season by trolling all of us and let Edwards start at QB in game one. He does have a better passer than Cade and JJ. That would be pretty funny. Just have Edwards come out and start every game. Like Michigan starting quarterback Donovan Edwards. That would be amazing. Just one pass, comes out, he could run it, he could pass it, whatever. He's the first guy out every single game. That'd be amazing. Michael Wolf, my brother in metal at MWolf21. Do you think Blake Corum will exhaust his eligibility or leave early? I mean, it obviously depends on how this year goes and where his stock is. I could see him being, I could see it going either way. I just think he needs to have a special season to be a top 3-round pick. It's always hard to be a running back that gets that type of credence in the NFL draft because, I mean, a lot of times we don't even see him go in the first round anymore. So I think it wouldn't surprise me if he stayed because it's really much more difficult to get to be a surefire thing as a running back. I mean, look at the Son Haskins, how, like, excellent year. And it's like, we know how athletic Kassan was, right? We're seeing him hurdle a guy a game. And yet, like, when it came to the NFL draft, they were like, oh, Hassan, not really that, not much of an athlete, you know? So, we'll see here. Continuing, do you think the defensive coaches have worked on getting the calls in quicker? Last year, it seemed like it would often get the call in late and would still be lining up when the ball is hiked. They were by end of last year, as it was with Mike McDonald. I'm sure that Jesse Minter has been given the rundown on, hey, we don't want this to happen again. And he's already got much more college coordinator experience, understands teams might do things to catch you off guard like that they don't necessarily do in the NFL. Because, I mean, he was just at Vanderbilt. He was at, other places, Georgia State and whatever. So he's got experience coordinating in college. So I'm sure he knows the kind of deal there. Jimmy Whitner, Jimmy Whitner 1. If you were allowed to pick the second night game this year, what would you choose? I mean, probably pick Michigan State, as much as the city of Ann Arbor would probably hate me for it. I don't really like night games from a work perspective because, getting to start really starting to write at midnight, never a fun thing. So I really wouldn't pick a second night game. But I mean, if you're going to have a big game, it should be that. Wouldn't mind doing it Penn State, though. Return the favor since they always have that game at night, usually in Happy Valley. But I don't think that if you had one or the other, I don't know that it would be Penn State, If you could attend a game this year, home or away, as just a fan, which game would you pick? Probably Michigan State, actually. Because I wouldn't want to go to Columbus of my own volition. I mean, not the city. I like the city, Columbus, believe it or not. But I wouldn't want to go to the game of my own volition. I'd be much more comfortable watching at home. I think that Michigan State, it would be one where it'd be fun to take all the pressure off of being in the media. That would be really nice. Can Zuri make a guest appearance this week? You asked it last week, and she made a guest appearance yesterday, so... hopefully that counts. We'll try to get her on as much as we can. He's upstairs right now. No idea that I'm leaving her for 2 days. KRTF Farmer 84, who's the fastest guy on the team from what you've heard? Still Roman Wilson. I mean, it's hard to really say who exactly it is. I mean, it could be Roman. It could be Blake Corum. Could be Yandrell. Could be AJ Henning. they haven't really raced, as they've said a million times over. So really hard to tell. I would probably say Roman would be my bet, but it's really hard to tell. Finishing us out in segment one, Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. Who's your favorite to be captains? Cade for sure. I think that's a no-brainer. Usually it's a pretty good indication when you look at who they're bringing to Big Ten Media Days, but I don't necessarily think that's the case this year. I think it's going to be Cade for sure on one side, and Ronnie Bell on the one side. And then on the other, I mean, maybe Mozzie, but Mozzie's not an outspoken dude, so I don't think so. I think this might be a case where you get a couple juniors on the defensive side. RJ Moten and Akai Hill Green. That's what I'm going with. All right, we'll continue forward here momentarily. But before we do, as the sun comes out and small businesses are back in business, LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to and faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, we are done with the leaders and best. We are on to the victors, valiants. We've got four question askers there, four in the next segment. So pretty decent little perfect kind of timing-wise. All right, Jim at Jim in the North. Do commitments matter anymore until the kid signs? There is nothing binding on anyone. I just have a hard time getting excited. Yes, I think they matter in the sense that usually if you can, especially if you can get a guy to be a pillar of a class. You know, and that doesn't mean there's only going to be one, but if you can get like one or two guys that are just going to relentlessly recruit, right? Like, usually don't have to worry, you know, about like a Will Johnson when he commits. It's like, all right, well, now he's out there recruiting. That's the ideal thing. I'm committed and I'm recruiting. Usually you get guys that are like committed and then, doing the recruiting and then then flip somewhere else. But it is a little bit more difficult in the world of NIL, so it does matter. It absolutely matters, but maybe it's not something to be as excited about at the moment, at least for Michigan, until they get their ish figured out. Do you think we will get what I've wanted since I was a kid, USC or UCLA in the Big House in November? I absolutely think you will. I don't think there's any way that's not going to happen. It's 100% like I could see them started like early in the Big Ten tenure. I could see them putting either or earlier in the season to get them acclimated. But there's no doubt that that's something that they want to see, right? USC in the Big House in November, maybe at night. Totally. Hope you're feeling better and doing better. We appreciate you. Well, thank you, Jim. I am starting to. I've had a couple good days from a physical and mental perspective in a row, which I need since I'm about to have a couple days of straight working. Usually goes every other day physically, but just glad to not be fatigued as much as I had been, which is part of what my diagnosis was. So anyway, Mark Z at Mark Zimke. This is inspired by Larry Fitzgerald and A.J. Dillon. If you were an NFA player, would you collect your own trading cards? I feel like I would, to be honest. Just because it's like, you know, that's you, of you. Like, you know, but then again, there's so much stuff of you, like maybe you don't have it, but I can imagine that I would, right? Like, it's not necessarily for me, but just like, you know, my family down the road, right? Like grandchildren, great grandchildren, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, this is what, you know, this is part of the legacy. It would be more of that, right? And then maybe if it was worth something and they really were in a pinch, they could, you know, But if, you know, if not, I don't think cards are worth anything anymore. I mean, sometimes I think you get one-offs here and there, you know, you get like those special editions. Maybe I'm just not paying attention, but I know that like my first, and probably along with a lot of people in my age group, my first card time that I got really into cards, and I had some cards in like 1987, 1988. I got the Topps 1989 full set. It's still sitting in a closet in my mom's, fully wrapped, unopened. I also collected like the full set, and it was down in the basement and in like a box full of like literally thousands of cards. And I was in California living there, and mom's basement flooded, and so that whole thing was ruined. Every card I had were in two boxes that were like giant. But nonetheless, I think that if you look up Topps 1989 baseball complete set, it cost less to get that now than it did in 1989. So that's a bad thing. I mean, it was just really proliferated, but I was also looking like last night on eBay because I was curious about, like, I remember I used to have the Marvel set in 1992, and I was looking to see how much it would cost to get that. I'm like, oh, $30 to get the whole set. I didn't pull the trigger late at night because I'm trying to be better about impulse purchases, but probably going to do that. Jacob Shaveria at Jacob17213950, biggest NIL amount you've heard of any UM player securing. I don't really keep my ear to the ground when it comes to NIL stuff. Honestly, like, maybe it is part of the job. I'd have tended to take this, if I don't care, I'm not reporting it type thing, you know, generally. I mean, sometimes, like, I have to report contract stuff, but generally, that's not something that, like, unless there was, like, a landmark deal. And I know there was a report that J.J. McCarthy has had up to $3 million of cumulative NIL deals, but I don't know any monetary figures. I don't know that any have been necessarily revealed aside from just that cumulative. Finishing us out in segment two, Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. What was your favorite jersey combo from last year? Now, obviously, I have to say, for the sake of obviousness, all blues, because I mean the success ratio and all that. That said, which one did I think was the coolest looking? I hate to say it because I have been a purveyor of the all white look that has been cultivated under Jim Harbaugh. But what they did at Penn State with the maize pants and the maize sleeves and the maize socks, or the white socks, I don't remember the socks, but I remember there was something different there. That was so cool. Honestly, like, that changed. I don't think that should be a normal thing. I like their all whites as their normal road jerseys. I think that should be a special alternate. I thought that looked so good. So that would be it for me. I mean, obviously all blues, whenever they can wear all blues, do it. But that's the white and the maize pants with sleeves. Has to have the sleeves. Can't just be the maize pants. Anyway. All right. We are going to continue on here momentarily. All right. So let's continue on. We've got four more questions left. Starting with MG Brady at Michael_M Brady. Is it realistic to expect a marked improvement in Cade McNamara's performance in terms of post-snap reads and taking shots in the middle of the field? I'm skeptical. I mean, absolutely. Things don't remain static, right? Players get better year over year. I mean, heck, like, even ones that you don't necessarily think are going to. Look at Stetson Bennett. Like, Stetson Bennett was okay. Like, he was kind of a stopgap. Was it 2 years ago? Last year, he was lights out. Do I have that right? Am I thinking of all of 1 year? I might be thinking all of 1 year. But no, I think I'm thinking of 2 years. Because I think he got his start in 2020, right? Unless 2021 feels so long that it's both. But I think it was 2020. The game I'm thinking when I first saw him was in 2020. There's so many, like, players tend to get better. It's funny because we always think, like, well, he's a wide receiver. You know, he was pretty good this year. He's going to be even better this year. It's like, it's only time that's the starting quarterback that we ever start to kind of lose that type of faith that they're going to improve. But I mean, he's got to try to hold off JJ McCarthy. It's not going to remain static. I think he's going to be markedly better. I still don't know. We won't know. I'm not saying still don't know as in like I have no faith in Cade, because I do. It's more of we won't know until we really see this thing on the field whether he's going to be able to hold off JJ McCarthy, because JJ just might be that good. But Cade might also just be good enough to keep him at bay and say, congratulations, JJ, you are officially the starter of your junior year, you know? Zach Larrabee at Z Larrabee. Leadership, emphasis of beating Ohio State and leaving everything on the field last offseason was the foundation for success in 2021. Has that feel been around the program this offseason for 2022? As far as I know, but I haven't really been, you know, like they, tomorrow would be the day that I would learn. You know, Tuesday would be the day that I would learn a lot of that, you know. I didn't go to the thing in Flint last week or the thing in Grand Rapids the following day or any of that stuff, Lansing, Grand Rapids. I didn't go to the Army thing. I really missed a lot, but that was obviously because of some health peril. I, as far as I know that, yeah, that would be exactly, I can imagine that they're not going to want to change the script as far as that's concerned. Going from last year. If it worked last year, they should probably keep on doing it, you know? Data Guy FL at Data Guy FL. ESPN QB ranking at Cade McNamara at 24. If 12 gauge, we'll call him 12 gauge, even though that was what they called Cardale Jones, wins the Michigan QB job, do you think he's talented enough to move into the top 10? We have seen his floor. What do you think of his ceiling? I mean, I've said it a bunch of times. I mean, he's a guy who broke records in the state of Nevada. He can throw it. Last year was certainly a lot more of a play it safe type year. I still expect him to try to not make mistakes, but I do think that they need a little something extra in order to try to help get the, you know, while the defense kind of figures things out, which it's going to take a minute because there's a bunch of news. I'd say that, but then again, 2017 didn't take a minute. Defense was like ripping, roaring, ready to go with 10 new starters. But I'd imagine that he's still going to try to take care of the ball. But I mean, I think that there's another gear or two for Cade McNamara. And I think if he's, you know, I don't think you want to just go out there and just be like, well, you know, safe, you know, slow and steady wins the race. I think it'll be a little bit more of a barn burner when it comes to that. So I do think he could get up to a top 10 type quarterback. And it happens all the time. I mean, what was Joe Burrow his junior year compared to where he was his senior year? No one was talking about Joe Burrow, you know, his junior year as being maybe the best quarterback in the country. Nobody. Period. All right, finishing us out overall. And then I am heading to Indianapolis. Hashtag Rule Tie at Tie to the Runner. With his reviving, with this reviving core, does a QB finally break the single season TD record? What's the TD record? I know the it's 33-15, I think, is the yards record. And I really hate that sometimes autofill doesn't work the way it should. I've got to look it up. I got to figure out what it is. I think 33-15, I think, is the let's see, TD record single season. 25. Wow, that's a pretty low bar. Yeah, I think this year, well, maybe this year it won't be, I don't know, because you might have two guys doing it, right? Single season. I mean, as far as completions, I mean, Cade McNamara is on the list. So, but that's, I think, the only place that he is as far as those passing ones in single season. Passing touchdowns, he's on the list for single game. I don't know. Splitting two QBs makes it really difficult for me to see one guy getting 25, but you never know. And I was right. 33-31 is the single season passing record yards-wise. I don't know. I was thinking 33-15. I think it was confusing it with Chad Henne's 97-15. Career passing yards. So, I don't know. We will see. All right, that will do it Forrest, for this, at least this episode, the goal is to do another one today down in Indianapolis. Again, whether that gets posted on Monday or Tuesday morning, we will see. We'll depend on a lot of things. How long it takes to get down there. I'm trying something else technically. How quick the internet is. All that kind of stuff. All right, so thanks for watching and or listening. We will talk to you again as soon as we can. Peace.